This morning's devotional reading is from Charles Spurgeon and is entitled, Cheer Up, My Dear Friends. It's based on 2 Chronicles 35, verse 2, where Josiah set the priests in their charges and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. Josiah, as you remember, bent his thoughts upon repairing and beautifying the temple, and our text tells us something of the method by which he went to work. And it may well serve us as a model. The first thing is to get every man into his proper place. The next thing is for every man to have a good spirit in his present place, so as to occupy it worthily. I will suppose, dear friends, that in the providence of God you are in your place, and assuming that it is well for you to keep where you are, my objects will be to encourage you to do your work for the Lord without being cast down. First, I would speak a little to those who think that they can do nothing. It seems more than possible that some of you, dear friends, whose minds are tinged with melancholy, have painted your own lot in deeper shades than the justice of the case deserves. Is your life indeed a dull routine which, for lack of busy change and lively enterprise, leaves no record behind? Not so, methinks. Are you patient under your sufferings? Do you try to keep the flesh in subjection, to govern your spirit, to refrain from murmuring, and to foster cheerfulness? That, my friend, is doing a great deal. I am sure that the holy serenity of a suffering child of God is one of the best sermons that can ever be preached in a family. A sick saint has often been more serviceable in a house than the most eloquent divine could have been. They see how sweetly you submit to the divine will. How patiently you can bear painful operations, how the Lord gives you songs in the night, why, you are greatly useful. I have sometimes been called to visit bedridden persons who have been unable to rise for many, many years, and it's been within my knowledge that their influence has extended over whole parishes. They have been known as poor, pious women or as experienced Christian men, and many have gone to visit them. Christian ministers have said that they derived more benefit from sitting half an hour talking to poor old Betsy than they did from all the books in their library, and yet Betsy said she was doing nothing. We frequently limit our estimate of serving God to the public exercises of the sanctuary and forget the strong claims that our Lord has upon our private fidelity and obedience. You say, I cannot serve God, when you cannot teach in the school or preach in the pulpit, unable to sit on a committee or speak on a platform, as if these were the only forms of service to be taken into account. Do you not think that a mother nursing her baby is serving God? Do you not think that men and women going about their daily toil with patient industry, discharging the duties of domestic life, are serving God? If you think rightly, you will understand that they are. The servant sweeping the room, the mistress preparing the meal, the workman driving a nail, the merchant casting up his ledger ought to do all in the service of God. Though, of course, it is very desirable that we should each and all have some definitely religious work before us, yet it is much better that we should hallow our common handicraft and make our ordinary work chime with the melodies of a soul attuned for heaven. Let true religion be our life, and then our life will be true religion. That is how it ought to be. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him, Colossians 3:17 says. So then let the stream of your common life, as it flows on, obscured, unobserved, be holy and courageous. You shall find that while they also serve who only stand and wait, as David said to his waiting servants, you shall not be neglected or overlooked who simply sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His words when you can do no more. This is service done for Him that He can appreciate, complain who may. Know too, my dear sister, that by thy sorrows the Lord has drawn out thy sympathies. Thou, my dear brother, know that by the discipline that has chastened you, you have learned to be a comforter. Say you then that you cannot do anything? I know a few secrets about you that you forget. You do not reckon yourself up as we reckon you. Did you not try to cheer up a poor neighbor the other day by telling of the Lord's goodness to you when you were sick yourself? How started from your eye that tear most sacred shed for a fellow creature's pain? Is it not your habit, poor sufferer as you are, to let drop just a few words for your master to others in like condition wherever you can? You tell me that you cannot do anything. Why, dear hearts, the refreshing of God's saints is one of the highest works in which anyone can be occupied. That is angels' work. Comforting is not ordinary work. You, dear, kind Christian men and women, who think that you're not able to do anything but to condole or console with cheery words some souls cast down and sore dismayed, you are fulfilling a most blessed office and doing work that many ministers find it difficult to perform. I have known some who have never known suffering or ill health, and when they try to comfort God's weary people, they're dreadfully awkward over it. They're like elephants picking up pins. They can do it, but with a terrible effort. God's tried people comfort each other con amore, with love. They take to the work as a fish to water. They understand the art of speaking a word in season to him that is weary, and when this is the case, they may not complain that they're doing nothing. Yet, beloved, you who thought that you did nothing, but now perceive that you are useful, will, I hope, perceive that there is still a wider region into which you may advance. Breathe the prayer of Jabez, who was more honorable than his brethren, because he was the child of his mother's sorrow. And this was his prayer: Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my boundaries. Ask God to open up to you a larger region of usefulness, and he will do it.